Right now, as we do each and every week, it is time for our golf, business, and law segment sponsored by the law firm of McDonald Hopkins in West Palm Beach. And I am, of course, not a lawyer, just a non-lawyer spokesperson for the law firm of McDonald Hopkins. But luckily, we're joined by two attorneys every Sunday morning, Patrick Rooney Jr., who does have his law degree and did pass the bar, but yet does not practice regularly, and the sports professor, Rick Caro, who is also an attorney. Rick, good morning to you. Happy Masters.
Happy Masters. How are you?
I am doing well. I am having problems hearing Rick, so I'm going to call back on a phone line. And, Pat, if you can take over for right now, that would be great.
Yeah, because I was having trouble hearing you, which was kind of exciting for the next 15 minutes. But, all right, call back.
Unfortunately, I can hear Rick loud and clear. So yeah. I will ask the first question of you, Rick, as normal. The Masters, notoriously one of the toughest tickets to get, harder than even getting Super Bowl tickets. Has any of that changed this year? What's the economic outlook for Masters 2008?
Well, you don't have to go any further than the three-day experience that I had, where you check in, you go to a hospitality area, you get your Dasani water or whatever else you want, and then you go to the front security, and you can bring the water in, but they make you peel off the label.
No way.
And you go to the concession stand, and you get to buy for a buck, not $100, Masters water, Masters peanuts, turkey sandwiches without Masters logo on it. You know, there are absolutely no logos anywhere on the ground that are permitted in any context, anyhow, any way. And that kind of tells you that the committee works, as we know.
Ouch, do we lose Rick there too now? Colin's just having a field day back there. Well, Russ is here.
I'm back on the line. So luckily you got me, but now we've lost Rick. So we'll try to get the sports professor back on the line. But I can echo the sentiments that Rick was just talking about. I was amazed, you know, and we'll get to the sights and the sounds in just a minute, but just, you know, echoing his comments, there's no labels on any of the water or the soda. You can buy a cup of soda for a dollar. You can buy a bottle of water for a dollar. You can buy a beer for $2. And they all the drinks come in these green cups, these green paper cups, and the soda comes in the green paper cups, and they're already filled when you go up, and you just grab one if you want it. But it's not called Coke or Pepsi. It's called Cola, Diet Cola, Lemon Lime. That's how they label the sodas, and they label the beer regular and light. So you don't know if it's Budweiser or Miller or whoever, Heineken. You know, there's no labels. You don't know what kind of brand beer you're drinking. You just know if you have a regular or a light, and it's $2.
Well, I mean, that's not too bad from a price standpoint, but, man, they've got to be unbelievable, Russ, in terms of trying to police the thing to make sure you haven't snuck a Coke or Pepsi or something in there.
Right.
But I mean, I was there. The only time I've been there was in 85. I was there for a practice round. Langer ended up winning it that year. And I do remember everything being in green and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, I imagine they've really had to try and crack down with just the proliferation of stuff that people probably try and sneak in there. Do they have little police guys or something, Russ?
Well, they do. When you first walk in, Pat, it's just like the airport. You've got to take all your metal out of your pockets. You've got to put them in these little plastic trays, just like at the airport, and then you walk through a metal detector. I mean, it's amazing. I've never gone to a golf tournament where you've got to take all your metal out of your pockets and put them in a tray, put the tray through an x-ray machine, put your bag through an x-ray machine. My wife had to take her purse off and have the people there go through it, and then you walk through a metal detector. It's just like you're at the airport. It's top-notch security because they want to make sure, first of all, that there's no cameras or cell phones going in there, because that's priority number one. You don't want to have a camera going off in the backswing at the Masters. You might have that at Pebble Beach or the Honda Classic or at the Byron Nelson, but you're not going to have it at the Masters. The same thing goes for cell phones. And then the next priority is making sure no labels get in there, whether they're a Coke bottle or a Zephyr Hills water bottle. I mean, it's just amazing. And Rick, I think we got you back on the line. I was telling Pat, I was just amazed. And this is my first time at the Masters, but you can buy a cup of soda for a dollar. You can buy a cup of beer for $2. And you can buy a pimento cheese sandwich for $1.50.
Yeah, and I'm kind of jaded because I've been there for, you know, a few times. And every time I see that, I take a picture of it. By the way, Wednesday is a great day because, just like you said, you're not allowed to do this. I have the green little slip that you pick up on the Wednesday at the Masters. It says important reminders, and it says, just like you did, the cell phone and other electronic devices strictly prohibited. And then it says violation of these policies will subject the ticket holder to removal from the grounds. That's, you know, we understand that. And the ticket purchaser to the permanent loss of credentials. And the way they do this is members get X number, and then they funnel them back through promoters and hospitality directors. Then they send these to corporations and individuals with a big markup. And if you get caught down the line, your credential holder that could be back from the beginning of time, certainly the beginning of the Masters, loses his credentials. And I wouldn't want to be that guy that gets it lost because somebody takes a cell phone in. So, you know, the bottom line is it is a police state, but a very well-run police state. By the way, one other sidelight on this, you know, the egg salad for a buck and a half and the turkey sandwich, they added Masters peanuts this year. They added Masters moon pies this year, and they added Masters turkey sandwiches because Billy Payne had some criticisms that he didn't diversify the menu enough. So that was his answer. And I did a little CNN gig yesterday and drove 5 hours up to Raleigh to do other stuff and forgot to kind of take the turkey sandwich out of my car as a prop. So, you know, it was interesting, but you should have smelled the car after 5.5 hours the prop on Saturday morning. Hey, but there's nothing like it. And then, Pat, you've been there, obviously. There's nothing like it.
No, I told Russ I vowed never to go back there unless I could actually play it. But if circumstances are such next year and we're still fortunate enough to be doing this show, I might have to break that rule and head up there with Russ next year to experience it once again after 20-some years.
Well, Pat,
you've been there once, and Rick, I know this is a yearly ritual for you. You've been here more times than you can probably remember. This is my first time this year. And the first thing that, and obviously I realized when I got inside the gates of Augusta, you know, when you walk across Washington Road, and I did the hospitality house thing just like you, Rick, and I think it's a great way, by the way, to go to a major championship, especially the Masters. And I've been hanging out here at the 1018 Club, which is on Azalea Drive. And you walk about 2 minutes up Azalea, then you cross the street, you cross Washington Road, and then you walk into gate number 3 there at Augusta National. They call it the National up here in Augusta. And you're in the Masters. And then, you know, once you're about 100 yards onto the grounds, it's just like Disney World. It's almost like you forget about where you came from, and you're in this little cocoon almost, this little womb, which seems nothing like the outside world. It's amazing to me. And the one thing that a couple of things that I expected that I saw were the elevation changes and the beauty of it. It's pristine. I mean, it's in such great shape. The manicured fairways, the mulch is not even out of place. It's just amazing to me. A couple of things, though, that I didn't know and I didn't expect were, one was the wide open spaces. I was amazed by how much room is between the holes, especially that large triangular area of wide open space between 18 and 9. I mean, you could fit probably 3 or 4 football fields in that little triangular area. The wide open spaces, Rick, to me, I was amazed. They could have put 27 holes on the property where they've got 18 holes. There's so much wide open space. It's magnificent.
Well, you remember what they do at U.S. Opens and PGAs for that wide open space? Of course you do. Corporate hospitality tents. And that's why this is an amazing event. By the way, the other sidelight of this is that you can always tell the rookies. I don't know if you were doing this, but they're the people that bring the $230 of per cap merchandise. That's what an individual buys on average. They go to the merchandise store, they get all excited, their mouths hang open, they buy all the stuff, then they forget that they've got to walk the course the rest of the afternoon. So you can always tell the rookies. They're the ones that are carrying the big-time Masters merchandise bags on the way in instead of on the way out, because you can't just put it down, obviously.
Well, guilty as charged on spending a lot of money, and I spent more than that number. I won't disclose how much, but no. I spent way too much, more than I should have, and my wife was giving me dirty looks as I kept putting polos in the shopping cart. But, you know, I was smart enough not to do it on the way in. I did it on the way out.
Well,
because I didn't want to be carrying all those bags around Amen Corner. I did hear a story. One of the ladies at the main pro shop, and there are a couple around the course. There's the one main, souvenir place when you first walk in Gate 3, which it's right next to the media center, and which is right next to the Masters Museum, which I thought was phenomenal. You can see the Masters Trophy. You can see different artifacts from years past at Augusta. But one of the ladies at one of the cash registers at the main shop told me that a Japanese patron came in on Thursday and spent $36,000 there, and then went over to the shipping area and had all of it shipped across the seas to Japan.
Well, not surprising. The numbers are staggering on merchandise. And by the way, the tournament committee does not divulge their numbers clearly, and everybody guesses and everybody's wrong. the best I've heard is about $40 million every year of revenue from the tournament, and that's why they can afford, if Martha Burke, in their mind, puts up a fuss, they can afford to tell corporate sponsors, hey, see you next year, we're not going to do it, and they still can get money from other sources to make up for it. But by the way, as far as merchandise, there is a study that is done internally that says that people who return spend more money than the first-timers, which you think is against what your intuition is. And why do they do that? Because they always get hit on by their relatives and friends to buy 10 things when the first time everybody's in awe and they don't ask about it. And then the end of the day, there's more the next year, there's more the next year. And you're right, there is a shipping booth right next to it. So if you're worried about buying stuff, you buy it, you go next door, you put it in the box, and then you go watch your golf.
Rick, we talked a little bit about in the beginning of the show about the economic impact of Augusta. I think you brought to light some factors. I remember, I think it was after 2001, a lot of stuff went downhill there in terms of, corporate outings, those types of things. Like anything corporate associated with the Masters, not necessarily ticket sales, but that they were having trouble bringing the groups of people in that I guess to entertain that they did. Is that back now in full swing or is there still some residual effect from 2001?
Back in full swing, even more. The Masters is not like the Olympics. You don't have to have you don't worry about people burning the torch. It's one of those things where you're guaranteed a good time. It is kind of hard to get into. The airport is small. Although, if you want to see every kind of corporate airplane in the world, you go to the Augusta Airport and you see it for the week. But it's about a 2.5-hour drive from Atlanta. And it's not that easy to get to, but people figure out how to do it. And again, the dollars are important, but let's remember that out of about 100 players who started the year this year, about 50 are international. And when you look at the leaderboard, obviously you got the South African who is leading, which is a great story. You got Paul Casey up there. You've got others. And when you think of how the retailers are responding, it's not just Nike scripting Tiger. Nike's also scripted Paul Casey, A.J. Choi, Adidas with Justin Rose and Sergio, Polo with Luke Donald. So it's not just the economic impact domestically, but it's international as well.
You are listening to Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic on ESPN Radio 760. It is our golf, business, and law segment, sponsored by the law firm of McDonald Hopkins in West Palm Beach. Sports professor Rick Haro joining us on the line. I am not a lawyer, just a non-lawyer spokesperson for the law firm of McDonald Hopkins. Russ Evans with you live in Augusta, Georgia, broadcasting from the 1018 Club on Azalea Drive. Pat Rooney Jr. back at home base in West Palm Beach, Florida. Rick, last question from me and regarding this hospitality house method. And I know a lot of guys and girls go this way. It's really not an option for everybody necessarily because there is a cost involved. But for some, especially the corporate element, this is a way to go. How prevalent is this? Because I see hospitality houses all up and down here on Azalea Drive, and I know there's other streets across from Washington Road where they have them. Some of the bigger houses almost look like frat houses because they got all these 35, 40, 45-year-old guys from all around the country drinking beers, hanging out before they go across the street to watch the third round or the fourth round of the Masters. But how much does this go on, and how much of a new concept is this over the last maybe 10, 15 years?
What do you mean, like frat? They are frat houses. So the wives or husbands who are left behind shouldn't share the secret. Guys are getting entertained, and they're doing business. That's clear. So if there are any IRS people listening, that's what they're supposed to be doing. But it is entertainment, and it is prevalent, and it's much more prevalent today because there is a law, Sarbanes-Oxley, which says corporations have to be very careful at avoiding boondoggles, clearly. And while this might be a boondoggle, there has to be some business, there have to be some speeches, there have to be some serious stuff discussed, and they factor that in. They definitely do all of that. So this is a big deal, and it keeps getting bigger.
Rick, last thing for me. This year some changes in the Masters. They're, ESPN broadcasting the first two rounds, and I think we lost Russ again. ESPN broadcasting the first two rounds, broadcasting more of the front nine than we've ever seen before. What changes do you think from a television perspective or anything else from a corporate perspective? We mentioned about sponsorships and logos and things like that.
Okay.
In the future, where do you see the Masters in terms of coverage and more corporate sponsorship or whatever? What's the future of the Masters 5 years, 10 years from now?
How about these words? Creeping populism. I don't know if populism is a word. But you remember, when Billy Payne took over, he didn't want to do something right away because there was that tradition. And slowly, look at what else you see. Not only the par 3 tournament, which was great on Wednesday, But you see kids age 18 accompanied by a badge-carrying member get in free. And as many as you, one kid per badge-carrying member, but you can do that now. 10 years ago might have been unheard of. DirecTV has live broadcast coverage, tournament highlights, a channel for Amen Corner, 709 on your dial if you want it, and a channel for 15 and 16, 710 if you want it. And the bottom line is more and more and more little things will add up. It'll never be like the U.S. Open or the other two majors after that, but it'll be a little more populous than it has been.
All right, do we have Russ back? Russ?
Rick, thank you so much for the knowledge. I think I'm there. I am. All right, cool. Thanks as always, Rick. We appreciate it. Unfortunate that we couldn't cross paths this year at the Masters, but hopefully next year. We'll talk to you next week.
We'll do it next year. Enjoy the rest of the day, pal.
Thanks, Rick.
Okay.
All righty. There he is, his sports professor Rick Caro joining us here on the line. Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you, Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic on ESPN Radio 760.